Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we may learn more today about whether the New York State Legislature will get a big raise and how many strings that will come with. They haven't had a raise in 20 years, and the various corruption scandals that have plagued the legislature are sometimes blamed on all the outside money they're allowed to make compared to members of other legislatures. So we will start there now with Daily News Albany Bureau Chief Ken Lovett and New York Times State Reporter Vivian Wang. Hi, Vivian. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
And I'll let listeners know that we'll also get to a few other things along the way, like why Governor Cuomo will give his third inaugural address on Ellis Island, and if he's planning to run for president, despite what he said on this program the other day, we'll play that clip. So, Vivian, for people not following the issue of New York State lawmaker raises, can you start by explaining what we, the taxpayers, pay them now and what this commission is that's involved with the decision on whether they get raises from us?
Sure. So for the past 20 years, New York State lawmakers have made just under $80,000 for what is defined as or ostensibly a part-time job. They're only in session up in Albany for half the year. And they have been calling and asking for a pay raise for quite a long time, especially, you know, if you live here in the city or downstate, $80,000 can be very difficult to live on and raise a family. But what they did this year is instead of voting themselves to give themselves a pay raise, which maybe is some bad optics, they chose to create a commission of four people that they basically have said, you guys figure it out if we deserve a pay raise or not. And then what you say will essentially go so that they are not really put in the spot of saying we're going to give ourselves a pay raise.
Ken, what would you add?
No, I think that they were hoping that this year the commission would just approve some kind of pay raise and they'd go about their business. That way it would take effect January 1st and that would be it. But the commission ended up, you know, imposing restrictions on the lawmakers, including limiting outside income to a congressional model where it would be 15% of the lawmaker salary. You couldn't make any more than that outside the legislature, and doing away with legislative stipends that you receive for leadership posts or serving as a committee chair or a ranking member on a committee.
And Ken, how much, let's go over some of the numbers. How much do the legislators make? How much would they make under this commission recommendation? And in real life, would that be more money or less money for these folks because they can make so much outside?
Well, right now, as Vivian said, they make $79,500. That's their base salary. A lot of them also get thousands of dollars, anywhere between $9,000 and $41,500, I think it is, in stipends, depending on what type of committee or leadership post they have. Under the deal with the commission, or what they approved last week, it would go up over 3 years to $130,000, making it by far the highest legislative salary in the nation. They also approved raises for the Attorney General and the Comptroller, and they recommended raises for the Governor and Lieutenant Governor. The Governor's salary right now, $179,000, would go up to $250,000, making him the highest paid Governor. However, unlike all those other raises, the commission says it could only recommend ones for the governor and lieutenant governor, and that the legislature would then have to approve it in a joint resolution.
Vivian, what would you add about the outside income that the lawmakers earn now? Or maybe it's extremely variable. Some of them make a lot in law practices. Some of them don't make very much extra money at all. And do they want this particular raise with those particular strings?
It is definitely very variable. All, you know, in the big scheme of things, not a big proportion of them actually do take in a lot of outside income, but some of them do take in very significant outside income. Some, as you mentioned, are lawyers, and they supplement their lawmaker salary with upwards of $100,000, even $200,000 a year. So for those lawmakers, This would obviously entail a very serious pay cut. Others have teaching posts, and that is minimal, you know, maybe less than $20,000 a year. But, you know, some of the lawmakers, especially the ones who do take in a lot of outside income, say that this could cause legislators in the future to, or potential legislators to reconsider whether or not they want to run for office because it may simply, even with the pay bump, not be enough for them to take care of their families, or at least so they say.
The headline on your article on this the other day was, with a $50,000 raise, New York lawmakers would become the highest paid in the nation. Do you know what calculation this independent commission used to come to the conclusion that New York lawmakers should be the highest paid in the nation?
I'm not entirely sure of the math on that, and I hope at least that we'll see some of that laid out in the report that they are to issue today. I know that at least in going from $79,500 to $130,000, they obviously looked at inflation and various other factors that have changed over the years. But I've talked to, you know, some people, not only lawmakers, but also good government groups. And they say, you know, New York state government is bigger than it is in many other states. It maybe is a bigger job for these legislators. So it's not off the bat ridiculous, at least to some people, for them to be paid more.
And the cost of living, Ken, certainly for the downstate legislators, is a factor here too, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Obviously, they haven't had a raise in 20 years. The speaker, Carl Hastie, said at a minimum, if you just went by the consumer price index, they would get about $121,000 just to keep up with the rate of inflation since the last raise. And then the rest of it, they would probably argue on the commission that, you know, getting away with the doing away with outside income and most legislative stipends would help make up for the rest.
Listeners, you know, I waited till a few minutes into this conversation to open the phones because I think this is something that a lot of people don't have their heads around, and people may react in a knee-jerk kind of way like, oh yeah, Albany legislators, they deserve more money, more of my money. What? How am I going to give those bums a raise? But you've been hearing some of the complexities and some of the reasons why a lot of people think New York State legislators should get a raise, also why many think they should be subject to limits on outside income. So what do you all think about this? If it's something you've thought about before, or just based on what you're hearing right now with this commission report due to come out today, some of it apparently binding, and with Vivian Wang from the New York Times, who covers Albany, and Ken Lovett from the Daily News, who's their Albany bureau chief, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll get into some other state political news as well as we go, but so you can call on some other things too if you want to raise them, but certainly on this issue of the raise, which is front and center right now, 212-433-9692. Vivian, is it controversial that the legislature is only in session 6 months a year, January through June? By contrast, for example, the New York City Council, city level, which we tend to think of as lower than state level, not only do they earn more money, but it's considered a full-time job.
The city council earns a lot more money. I think that some lawmakers' opinions on this differ. A lot of lawmakers will argue, and the commission members argued, that even if it is defined only as a part-time job, many lawmakers make it a full-time job. You know, if they're not up in Albany, they're down in their home districts, they're doing constituent services, making sure their constituents know who they are. But there are other people who say, you know, this should be a part-time job. One argument I've heard against making it full-time and giving a pay raise is that by doing so, you would basically create a class of purely politicians rather than people who also have a stake in their communities and are in tune with local businesses.
Would this proposal make it a full-time job?
I think essentially it would, yes.
Ken, I guess, how much Republican opposition would there be to that? Because I know sometimes, at least on the campaign trail, some Republicans will say things, and maybe it's just snark, but it fits with small government, limited government, conservative ideology that, you know, we're only safe when the lawmakers aren't in session. So why would we want a full-time legislature?
Look, I think a lot of them, first of all, the Republicans largely have the outside income. I'm not saying Democrats don't, but a lot of them are Republicans who have the higher salaries.
Why is that?
Why it is, I don't know. A lot of we see a lot of times, especially in the state assembly, that people who are elected come often from the political class for the Democrats. You know, we'll see former city council people, things like that. Whereas the Republicans often come from the private sector. And I'm generalizing here, obviously. But I think the Republicans would say it is a bad idea. And even some Democrats, I spoke to Joe Lentol, a Brooklyn Democrat, long time, who doesn't like the idea of doing away with outside income. He feels it would lead to a reliance of a political class and, mm-hmm. and of the special interests, whereas he says now you have people who are lawyers and pharmacists and funeral directors and doctors who bring expertise, as he said it, from the real world and not just the world of politics, and he feels that will somehow be lost. The other thing I think that has surprised some people is the commission wants to do away with most of the outside income by the start, not the end, but the start of 2020. The next election year is 2020. Doing it before an election changes the rules of when people ran this past November. They ran under one expectation, and now doing away with it even before the next election, where at least they know the rules, has led some people to wonder if that's legal.
Let's take a phone call. Bud in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bud.
Hello. Hi. Thank you very much. Could the guests comment if they know, isn't there some business about that the legislators also get a transportation reimbursement and a per diem housing allotment for each day they're in session? And could the...
Yes.
Could they discuss exactly what those numbers are? Because it would seem to me that, obviously, if I live in New York City and have to go to Albany, sure, that's a big chunk for transportation. But then again, if I live in New York City and I work in Brooklyn, I don't get any reimbursement for transportation for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also a housing allotment, too. I can understand it's a part-time job, and the housing would be in New York City, let us say, and to go up to Albany for a couple of days, they have to get a hotel or whatever. Could the guests talk about what those actual numbers are?
Ken, you want that?
Yeah, they get about $175 per diem for travel when they stay overnight in the Capitol. And, you know, when we talk about a full-time legislature, comparing it to the city council, by the way, at least they get to wake up in their own beds every night, or we assume. And here, you know, they're away, and you've got people coming from all over the state. But, yeah, we've seen per diems reach as high as $22,000. We've seen scandals where people were filing false per diem reports and went to prison as a result. But, yeah, they get typically anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000 a year for housing and for food. And, yeah, that's on top of everything else.
Vivian, do the commission's recommendations, and I guess we haven't seen the final version, which is due out today, but do you get the indication that they will address the main things that ethics reformers say are really needed in New York State for clean government, like ending the campaign finance loophole known as the LLC loophole that allows basically unlimited campaign donations by people who set up even shell companies that they call LLCs?
At least from what the commission members were saying at their meeting last week, it was nothing. I mean, the only kind of ethics restrictions that they really mentioned were the outside income restrictions and the legislative stipends. And so I know that we are already seeing government reform groups saying that's not enough. That's not going to, quote unquote, clean up Albany. If we really want to see a cleaner government, we have to see all of those reforms that you just mentioned.
They did say that they would recommend reforms, which I'm assuming we'll see in the report today. But, I mean, how much can they do and completely usurp the legislative process? I mean, had they put in closing of the LLC loophole, campaign finance reform, lowering campaign contribution limits, I mean, those are all decisions for the legislature. As it is, there are a number of people who think they overstepped their boundaries by limiting outside income and getting rid of the legislative stipends, that those were really decisions that needed to be made by the governor and the legislature. There's also people who have said it's unconstitutional for the commission to even approve pay raises. Oh. Recommend, yes. Approve them, no. They feel that that's also something that needs to be done by the legislature and the governor. And if there's a lawsuit, we'll see where it falls.
Did the legislature and the governor empower this commission to make a binding decision so that there is at least the appearance and maybe the fact of independence from voting themselves a raise?
Yes, they empowered them on the raise. The legislators say they did not empower them on the other things, such as outside, restricting outside income and doing away with most legislative stipends.
Claude in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Claude.
Good morning. My question is, if you were to allow for outside income, and I'm sure a lot of these people are probably lawyers because they're the people who really have the most insight into really what's going on in the government, would there be any oversight? Because I guess if you are a person in trouble needing a lawyer, you probably would be very interested to know, which side of the fence some lawyers are on. And where you need to be, or what government, how these people are connected. So is that the reason perhaps why they want to restrict having outside incomes? So there would be less or hopefully less incidents of people taking advantage of their political office.
Yes, absolutely. And Vivian, maybe we should remind people of the case of Sheldon Silver, the former Assembly Speaker who got convicted of corruption for just something like Claude is talking about, right?
Yeah, that's correct. He was essentially getting money directly or indirectly from people who had business before the state. So I think that part of the recommendation that the commission is set to issue is to actually ban attorney-client relationships. So not only would they put a 15% cap on outside income, they would also more seriously or more severely restrict the type of outside income that you could draw, as opposed to educational or teaching posts. They say those would be okay.
Let's take one more call. John in Wantagh, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. Long time.
Glad you're on.
I just wanted to ask the guests about the fairness, I guess, altruism of, I live with a teacher who had to put up with, a controlled salary for the promise of greater benefits on retirement. Can we treat our legislators in a similar way, that you give up something now to get something later? And all the connections, obviously, they'll make as legislators.
Well, is the implication of your question that people should be paid a decent salary if we expect to attract the best people to do the job?
Yeah, the attraction is like one third. I think two thirds is the actual delivery, of the service part.
Right, John. Thank you. So, Vivian, how would you start to answer John's question on either attraction or delivery of service? Like, $79,500, the current New York State legislator salary. If that's all they made in the course of the year, it's above the national average. It's above the New York State average, but it's not what's considered really elite salary in America for people who you might want to be, among the brightest of the bright to make these vastly important decisions that affect millions of people.
That's right. I think we've already seen people in the past leave the state legislature to go, for example, to the New York City Council because they make more money there. And another issue that has come up in the topic of pay raises is the diversity of the state legislature. If you come from a disadvantaged background, you come from communities that typically haven't had access to power or to money, $80,000 may not be feasible for you, and so you may not run for office because of that. Whereas if we bump up that number, perhaps people who traditionally have not looked at public office or maybe have looked at it but have decided it wasn't feasible for their families may decide to throw their hats in the ring. I think on the question of performance, that's actually something that's a little bit tied up with the question of whether or not this commission even has the authority to impose these restrictions, because the text of the law that authorized the commission is very kind of vague, kind of fuzzy. It just says that the pay raise can be conditioned upon the timely delivery of a budget. And also, I believe the language is their performance or something alluding to quality, but, you know, doesn't really say what the yardstick for that would be.
So do either of you, to the extent that you have license to express an opinion in your roles as reporters, can you maybe also a columnist, so I don't know, maybe you have a little more license here, but to the extent that either of you are comfortable with this question, does the evidence seem to indicate that these pay raises and the likely restrictions will make New York State government more competent and make it more clean? Ken?
You know, well, first of all, on the argument of the pay raise, you know, a lot of people would agree that 20 years in any sector is a long time without a pay raise. But whether that'll clean up Albany, I don't think a pay raise in and of itself necessarily. You know, the governor and others and the speaker have said that, you know, there are laws in place to police corruption, and you can't police morality. And whether you get better people who run because the salary is $130,000, or do you, with the restrictions, do you only get a political class, and does that lead to its own set of problems? You know, that remains to be seen, but ultimately it comes down to the individuals elected, I would think, and not necessarily the salary. Maybe you get a better caliber of person, but is it going to be so much better between $80,000 and $130,000? You know, that remains to be seen.
Vivian, anything on that?
Yeah, I think Ken said it pretty well. And so when you talk about the other reforms that you mentioned, Brian, such as closing the LLC loophole and other campaign finance fixes, you know, those could also go a long way towards cleaning up Albany. But as Ken said, if people aren't going to follow any of those restrictions, it doesn't matter.
Vivian Wang, who covers Albany for the New York Times, and Ken Lovett, the Daily News Albany Bureau Chief. Let me touch on a couple of other things before we run out of time. And actually, Governor Cuomo is going to be our next guest right after the 11 o'clock news. And Ken, you have an exclusive in the Daily News that says groups tell Cuomo it will take more than ending cash bail to stop mass pretrial jailing. I know ending cash bail is a big agenda item now that the Democrats have won control of the New York State Senate. So what's the reservation here?
Reservation is that you just can't do one thing, you know, ending cash bail. They want to make sure that if you end cash bail, these groups, it's about 136 groups, that there are other things that don't take its place. For instance, they don't want to see electronic monitoring of people who are let out on bail or without bail. They don't want to see, they want to see a presumption of being not incarcerated before a trial. So, you know, you would have to prove extenuating circumstances to keep people locked up. You know, things like that. So it's not just ending the bail, but how you do it and the circumstances around it.
And so is there any reaction so far from the governor, or what would be a good follow-up question while he's on?
I mean, the governor's people had told me that he supports a lot of these measures, but, you know, as the governor likes to say, the devil's in the details, so we'll have to see what kind of bill they come up with, both the legislature and the governor. I would expect that could be something that's done either earlier in the session or even as part of the budget.
And Vivian, I expect that the governor will talk when he comes on about his new attempt or participation in the New York State Democratic Committee's attempt to pressure Congresswoman Kathleen Rice of Long Island to support Nancy Pelosi. Congresswoman Rice from Nassau County, she used to be the Nassau DA, is among the leaders of the movement not to install Nancy Pelosi as majority leader, as speaker, I should say, now that Democrats have taken back control of the House of Representatives. And Cuomo, it seems like, is getting personally involved in pressuring Kathleen Rice and singling her out on this. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that it is another national story, a national headline for the governor to be a part of. And as you said at the beginning of the show, he has said that he is not going to be running for president. But if that were to change, he certainly can be seen, you know, trying to influence national policy here.
Cuomo has had a close relationship with Pelosi. She's been in here supporting him, and she's been in several times during his last re-election, this re-election, and at other times as well. So they have had a good working relationship over the years, so I think he's paying back.
You mentioned Cuomo and interest in national politics suddenly now after he won this third term for governor. Let me just refresh people's memories by playing what the governor said in response to a question in a gubernatorial debate earlier this year.
I just want to be clear. You promised to serve 4 more years as governor if reelected.
The only caveat is is if God strikes me dead. Otherwise, I will serve 4 years as governor of New York.
The governor in the summer with Channel 2's Maurice Dubois, and then here on the show a couple of weeks ago?
No, I am ruling it out. I am running. I ran for governor. I have a full plate. I have many projects. I'm going to be here doing the job of governor. I'm working on the SALT, working mm-hmm. on Gateway. I'm governor of New York, and I have a lot to do.
Ken, what's the current definition of God strikes me dead and ruling it out?
Look, in his heart of hearts, not that I know, but do I think he'd love to run for governor? Yes. Do I think he, president, do I think he will? No. I mean, if there's an opening, yes, but we don't see him doing the things that he would be doing otherwise. You know, by now, he would be reaching out to people in Iowa and New Hampshire. We haven't heard that he's done that. He'd have consultants. We haven't heard that he's done that. Certainly, during the election, he spoke out a lot about national issues, and he really ran more against Trump than he did against Republican Mark Molinaro, but he's been more focused in his verbiage on New York issues since being reelected. So I just haven't seen that he is going to run. I won't say he won't, but I'd be surprised if he did.
Vivian, anything?
Yeah, I just think that the governor would possibly have a strong showing in a general election, but when it comes to the already crowded primary field, you know, even as the governor has marketed himself as more and more progressive, especially this past year, I don't know how many voters are necessarily going to buy that against a candidate like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris.
With all the remembrances of George H.W. Bush in the last week, little noted was that the governor's father, when he was governor, Mario Cuomo, was so indecisive about whether or not to try to run against George H.W. Bush and ultimately finally decided at kind of the last minute for getting into the Democratic primary process that he wasn't going to do it. I'm sure that weighs on the mind of his son as he doesn't want to maybe look like he's repeating history in that way by waiting till some last minute, but I guess only time will tell. Just real quick, one other issue that I think is really interesting now that the Democrats have taken control of the state Senate is that suddenly support seems to be evaporating that was there for New York State single-payer health care. The governor opposes it, but it has the assembly. It has a majority of Democrats who at least ran for state Senate, but now there are obstacles being thrown up like public sector unions who actually don't want it because they prefer their private sector health plans that their public sector jobs let them have. Vivian, anything on this? Is this going somewhere, nowhere?
I think just what we have to remember is that for the first time, the Democratic Senate has a very significant suburban conference. And those legislators are very aware that their constituents don't want to see new taxes. Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins, the leader of the Senate Democrats, has consistently reminded people that she's from the suburbs and doesn't want to impose new taxes. And so if they stay true to that and, you know, they don't want to lose these seats again in 2 years, it's going to be very hard to fund something like single payer.
Ken, 15 seconds on this.
Yeah, I think also people forget you would need a federal waiver, and under the Trump administration, I don't see that coming.
Ken Lovett, Daily News, Albany Bureau Chief, Vivian Wang, who covers state politics for the New York Times. Thank you both so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.